Okay. I first of all, today is Monday, March 21st. Everything's working. March 21st, 2022. And once again, I call your attention. It'll come up in the Vayom Moshe as well. I call your attention to the funeral yesterday. I don't know if there was a bigger funeral in Israel. As I recall, with Shlomo Zalman's funeral, I was at that funeral. It was within walking distance of my house. Not that I got anywhere near the mitzvah, but it was a sight to see. And I think they said there were 500,000 people there for 400,000. Yesterday already, you get estimates, and the least estimate is 500,000, but you get estimates of 750,000, etc. And it's a miracle of rebirth. That's all I can say. And Reb Chaim Kanevsky was heads and shoulders above the crowd, and what I said yesterday, I stand on. And he was a moderating influence. He and Reb Edelstein, as you should live and be well, Lumchi Yeshiva and the start of Panovich, everyone was a Zionist. There was a different era. But Ben-Gurion's people made a terrible mistake. And as I said in class, when they sentenced two cooks to jail for refusing an order to cook on Shabbos, you can understand the results. And if you don't think my interpretation is correct, look at Benjamin Brown's classic work on the Haredi world, and it's very well balanced. And he makes the point 100 times over. Okay. I also want to mention, a Talmud sent me a picture. He mentioned Rav Tzvi Hirsch Grudzinski was the only Agudist in America, a cousin to Rav Chaim Meiser. This is his picture. And Einachinami, people tell me time and again that he knew every word in Tosfos by heart. He was in the Midwest, Omaha, and you can get everything is available. They sent me a picture of his kever as well from the Omaha website, Orthodox Omaha website. Regarding Rabbi J.J. Schachter, he studied at the Philadelphia Yeshiva under Rabbi Yitzvei Shmuel Kamenetsky. I believe I said that. Previously, he was in Torah Vadas, where he studied with Rabbi Avram Palm and Rabbi Moshe Dovber Rifkin. Rabbi Moshe Dovber Rifkin is the grandfather, let me see if I have it right, yeah, the grandfather of the lady who sat in my shiur yesterday. Rebbetzin Esther Shurin is a granddaughter of Reb Moshe Dovber Rifkin. Wait, I should put it the opposite way. Her husband, who sat in the shiur yesterday, Rabbi David Shurin, is a grandson of Reb Moshe Dovber Rifkin. Reb Moshe Dovber Rifkin, I referred to him yesterday, he was a great Talmud Chacham, and he also was a Chabad Hasid who wrote yet a book that the Rav used to quote about the Patira of the Sixth Rebbe. He's one of the Shamashim at that time. Then he came to America, and he was a terrific Rebbe, a Teira Vidas, and a Hasid of the Seventh Rebbe. He studied with Rav Chaim Shmulevich, Rav Benish Finkel, Rabbi Finkel, Rav Chaim Kamiel at Mir Yerushalayim. And all this he got from J.J. Schechter's website. But one thing is correct. When I said he never studied in NYU, I was absolutely correct. Okay, let's come back. Today's a very fascinating shiur, and we're not going to be finished in a week or two. This is, I want to understand the Yom Moshe. I want to understand his position, and I don't want to challenge him or question him. Be'ezrat Hashem, the Eibishter should give strength. Many months from now, I will totally refute him, refute Agudat Yisrael, and anyone hearing my shiurim or reading what I'm going to publish. If you don't become a religious Zionist, b'lev v'nefesh, well, we have a real problem with your ability to understand words of Torah and words of wisdom, all from my Rebbe, Moriah Rebbe, Sefer Tzadik Livracha. Okay, now, there's no question when you study Shas that there was an element in Shas that held you're not allowed to go on Aliyah. We don't only find it in Tuvah with Rabbi Zera, you find it in many sources in Shas. And as I mentioned, an entire volume was written in Tel Aviv. I own the volume. It's one of the first volumes I was able to purchase when I came in Aliyah. And it's a fascinating volume with all the sources And there were people who felt galus is punishment, you have to remain there, you can't leave. Rabbi Zeira could have, you know, the way the Satmar Rebbe interprets Rabbi Zeira, he agreed that you can't have a mass aliyah, but individuals could go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, and this is what I ended off last week's shiur with, and again, it's very, very important. The Satmar Rebbe has one tremendous problem, and that is the Rambam Shita with Kiddush HaChodesh. I showed you last week both the Psak in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh and the Sefer Mitzvot, and according to the Rambam, our whole calendar depends upon the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam goes so far in the Sefer Mitzvot, that's how we ended off last week's shiur, the last words I said, that if it should ever happen that there won't be a minyan of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, we no longer can exist as a Torah people. The calendar falls apart. There's no Pesach, and there's no Shavuot, and there's no Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Shabbos you'll have every 7 days of Shabbos, but the Yom Tovim that are dependent upon Kiddush HaChodesh, if you don't have that minyan in Eretz Yisrael, we're finished. And the Rambam says, "Shelo yivdach mimenu nidach." God promised us there will always be a minyan. Now, I'll go one step further than last week and go back to a little Ani Rothkopf sitting in shir with the Rav, and we're going through this topic. And the Rav says, and that's why when you're Makadish Chaydish, you know, in every shul, we announce the Molad, we announce Rosh Chaydish, and Chodesh Hazeh, Yehi Ratzon. So the Rav said there's a big difference between those who do it in Boston and New York and those who do it in Yerushalayim. And the Rav said that by announcing and going through that whole ceremony, there's a kiyum of the establishing the calendar. And the Rav had upgeteicht, that much you know, Mark, upgeteicht, Baruch Hashem. The Rav had upgeteicht the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvot. Yomon, just stay one more minute. I'm going to ask a question that we couldn't give an answer to in the 50s. Maybe your genius mind will come up with an answer. And the Rav said that in Chutzlar, would you say it? Fine. But the kiyum that establishes the calendar, that's in Eretz Yisrael. And when you say Kiddush, the Birchat Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, particularly Yerushalayim, you literally are bringing the Rambam to life and establishing the calendar for every Jew in the world. So far, so good, Charlie. So we pop. I don't know if I have to be honest. I don't know if I asked the question or someone else asked it or a few of us asked it. We stumped the Rav. Very simple. Nu asked the question. Chodesh Tishrei. There's no Kiddush HaChodesh. Right or wrong? Chodesh Tishrei. There's no Kiddush HaChodesh. Minig Yisrael. You don't say that it's Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah and the days it'll be. So how do you, what establishes the calendar for that month? I don't recall that we ever came up with a good answer. I mean, we like everyone else, we can be mafalkel that it's automatic already once Elul's established, and the month of Tishrei is so overwhelmingly important and filled with Kedusha. We don't say Yehi Ratzon, we don't say the Meilad and all, but I don't know. It's question hangs fire. If anyone listening will pick it up on YU Torah, ask Rav Heschel Shechter. The thing is, I don't know if he was in the shiur yet. It may have been my first year with the Rav. He was not there yet. He's a little younger. But I'm curious if anyone ever came up with an answer. But anyway, halacha lemaisa, the Satmar Rebbe has a problem. Because if you learn pshat that to go into galus is God's the command, then you have no right to leave on your own, and we will, you know, the Gemara and Tuvit, that whole Amid, they only quoted part of it, but the Lo Yitchu et HaKetz, and etc., Lo Yalu B'Choma, Lo Yimidu K'negetu Malto Olam, So we are left. How's the Satmar going to explain this? So all right, the Satmar it takes it on, and he quotes the Rambam. He quotes the Sefer Mitzvot, and he says, yes, there's no doubt that there always has to be a little community in Israel. There always has to be a continuity of people who never left. But these are Yechidei Skula, these are Kedoshim Utahorim, and Chas V'Chalila to go back en masse. Individuals, to keep the calendar going, fine. But to go back en masse and conquer and climb and fight, absolutely forbidden. And then the Rambam, the Rabbi Yoelish, starts telling the world what we spoke about in the history of his life, that yes, and these Jews living in Israel, we who live out of Israel have a tremendous obligation to support them. And he admits and he says, and I have to tell you, I myself raised funds for my little community in Israel. We have to do everything we can to help them. Now, what you see here is the original mentality of the Yishuv, and I need not tell you how much has been written on this. There's two volumes, I believe it is, by Avrama and Nahari, Ya'ari, if my memory is correct. I remember going through the volumes many decades ago. You see, the original concept, every community in the Gola was proud to have representatives in Yerushalayim, in Tzfat, in Tiberias, in Hebron. I need not tell you, money was raised, but the Yungarin, but the Vasha, and this, of course, was called Chalukah, that the people living in Israel, you didn't expect them to work. You were happy to see them davening and learning, and it's a schut for you, and you support them. And this was the mentality of the Yishuv, exactly what Rabbi Yoelish is referring to. Now, when the Zionist movement came along, of course, that was the great chiddush of Frisch Vekiragma, Metzvi Hishkalisha, Rav Shmuel Moliva. These were Gedolei Yisrael, who were religious Zionists, that it's time to have normalcy in Israel. People have to work, people have to support themselves, and people have to develop the land. And this was the tremendous chiddush of Zionism over the Chalukah system. Now, this concept of Chalukah lives on until today. I can tell you from my own experience with what goes on in some of the charities and the charitable work in Yerushalayim. People have said to me, "Bekemale, I live in Jerusalem. The Jews in Tinek have an obligation to support me." In other words, I see that mentality before my eyes. How widespread it is, listen, I cannot say it's not widespread, but it's only widespread to a certain degree today because the Haredi world is opening to reality. And as we've said many times, one father can support three children, five children. Once you have the five children who grew up supported by their father and they produce 40 children, Kanayin Hara, comes a little harder for these people who are learning in a kollel all their life to support so many children. And the Haredi world is undergoing a metamorphosis now. And as I've said so many times, we have an obligation to help them, to lead them, to show them that one can be a gon, a tzaddik, a chassid, and live in the big world and live successfully. And remember, in Eretz Yisrael, whatever you do is a mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. If you're, I was just writing to someone, gave me a mazel tov, a Talmud, so I wrote him about my family. The truth is, I write this to try to entice people to come in Aliyah. So this grandson is an expert in traffic lights. He is a kid at tzaddik, when stuff, you know, me, his wife, that's a kind of them. unbelievable people. But an expert in traffic lights. No, when you fix a traffic light in Englewood, I don't think there's a mitzvah. When you fix a traffic light, maybe there is, pikuach nefesh. But here there's more than pikuach nefesh. It's mitzvah yishuv haaretz. But the Sakhmurud says, yes, we have to support them. Then, of course, he's true to form that, and al achat kama v'kama today, we have to support them all the more because they're exposed to all the apikursit and minut in the state of Israel, the Zionists, the religious Zionists, the Agudat Yisrael. So the obligation today to support them is many more times intense than what was 200 years ago, 300 years ago, where there was no, I don't know if there were any apikursim in Israel, any minim in Israel, I don't know, it didn't exist. And this is the Satma. All right, and then he goes on and on. There's another line in the Gemara, right after the three oaths, there's more interpretation. What are these, what exactly? And there's one, Shelo Yitchaku et Haketz. And Rashi explains, you can see it in Rashi, the Gemara I quoted, K'tavot, a week or two ago, and Rashi said, what's the Mishlo Yitchaku et Haketz? Shelo Yirbu B'tachanunim Kolkach Yotem Midai. That we shouldn't pray to God. I mean, listen to these words. These words are in Rashi, explaining the Gemara. We shouldn't pray to God and press Him and plead with Him with tachnunim, lo yitchatku et haketz. And what does this mean? And Rabbi Yoelish asks a very simple question. Well, I don't know. The Satmuruv, I can tell you Eidut Nemana, that when in 1951, or it was already January 52, was the first time in my life I had 2 weeks off. You know, I was a serious kid. I went to Solanta, MTA. I told you this. I write about it in Washington. They chok v'lo yavot. Listen, in your time, Charlie, in MTA. It was my first 2 years in MTA. If you had over a 90 average, you didn't have to take a final. And I didn't have to take any finals. None. Later they abolished it. You know why? Because they were right. Knowing how to take a test is important for life. I mean, this is life. You have to take tests all the time. Remember my daughters used to say to me when they were in Chorev and Michal, they said, how lucky you are, Abba, that you don't take tests. I said, you're wrong. Every time I walk into the classroom, I'm being tested by the students sitting in front of me. You follow? So you have to know how to take tests. But I had 2 weeks off. So together with my dear friend Chaim Noble, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, Howie Noble, who was a year behind me, we went around. We had 2 weeks. We went all over New York to see Yiddishkeit. Remember, I write about it. We went to JTS. We went to Temple Emanuel. But we went to Chaim Berlin. We went to Torah Vadas. We went to Satma. And we came into the Satma Beis Medrash. Must have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon, winter. And the Satmuruv was first taking off his tefillin, first finished davening. So you talk about Labot B'tachnunim. What are you talking? And the Musa, I remember I once had a long talk with Reb Aaron Lichtenstein. In his early years when he came, I have a schut, Malka and I, we paved the way for others to come. Because when we went, they thought we were crazy. I can't go into details now, but we paved the way. So then we once had a talk, how do you balance out the yeshiva with the army? And Reb Aaron said a good word. He said, you got to understand that the mafatim in the army are like a Rosh Yeshiva. What's a Rosh Yeshiva? What did the Rav tell us, Mendaf Merlin and Mendaf Kenin? What did Rabbi Aaron Cutler tell us, Mendaf Mer, Mendaf Kenin? More learning. And they're right. When do you stop? I told you, I've been learning how many years already? Almost 80 years since I was a kid of 5, 6. And what do I know? And yet, then the more you learn, the more you know you don't know enough. The more you learn, that's the way it works. So he says, the mafaktim in the army, also more to train. The more you train, the better you are. Kashebi imunim, kalbikrav. Did you do basic training in the Israeli army? Lieutenant colonel, there's signs all up when you're in basic. kasheh be'emunim, hard in training, kal be'krav. It'll be easy when you're actually shooting, fighting in an actual war. So how can you say al tabeh betachnunim? Don't we tell people? I know my grandsons, they daven too quickly. I tell them, you got to daven, you have to daven slow, you have to concentrate. All right, they're fluent in Hebrew. They know Hebrew since the time they're a half year old. That's a little different than yours truly. But the Satmar Rav raises this question. So here he quotes the Geret HaRambam to Taiman. And you see, this is the problem. If you're overly preoccupied with prayer and tachnunim, you wind up in a world of mysticism. And he's dealing, the Rambam and the Geret Taiman is dealing with false messianic visions. And this is the way the Satmar Rav interprets Rashi, that al taber betachnunim, false messianic visions. Now, I have to say, this is a theme that will be constantly repeated by Reb Yoelish in the Vayoel Moshe. What do I mean it will be constantly repeated? Because look at Zionism. Look at the success. Look what's happened. Go back in time. Look at Shabtai Tzvi. And we'll come to it. And how many good Jews believed in Shabtai Tzvi? You understand? Shabtai Tzvi was not a small movement, and among them were Gedolei HaRabbanim. Just remember, Rabbi Yaakov Emden went to his grave convinced that Rabbi Yonatan Epshavis was a Shabtai Tzvinik. And until today, if you know in academia, until today, there's a Machlokes HaPoskim about Rabbi Yonatan Epshavis. And you know, the Kamiyah, you know what I'm talking about. I trust you know a Kamiyah written... And if Shabtai Tzvi gets have such an impact, then of course the Zionists can win out. That doesn't mean they're right. It means they're apikarsim, minim, Shabtai Tzviniks, call them what you want. But you see, he constantly comes back to this. Now, here on page Alamed Tet in Vayom Moshe, he quotes already the B'nei Ephraim, Uben Kuziba. Ben Kuziba, of course, is Bar Kochva. And here, from the Satmar Rav's point of view, these people were absolute apikarsim, just like the Zionists. Now, the B'nai Ephraim, again, this is something that the Satmar Rav uses time and again. What are we talking about, the B'nai Ephraim? After the Meraglim, the Chet Meraglim, and lo talu, and you can't go up, you can't go to the land, that's it. So B'nai Ephraim, they went and fought, were defeated. They went too early. They went without God's wishes. Again, exactly like the Zionist. Yes, Yomo?
Isn't the Arab nation of Ephraim, part of the name Ephraim that left 30 years early from Ephraim?
I recall it. I think it's Yerushalmi that it's. They went up to when Moshe Rabbeinu warns them, "Lo tatzlichu, you won't succeed." And the Mapilim, and I think they identified the Mapilim with the B'nai Ephraim. But could be left earlier. You're saying something I recall. Okay, but anyway, it's the whole idea that they went on their own. God was not with them. Bar Kochva is already much worse. There you have the Rambam twice refers to Bar Kochva, and he infers that he could have been Mashiach. I've spoken about this at great length years ago on my lectures on Zionism. And the Rav was Medayik in the Lashon HaRambam. But you see there, it wasn't that Bar Kochva wasn't Mashiach. He wasn't at fault. The dough was not ready. The generation was at fault. We fell flat. And the Rav based it upon the Gemara in Sanhedrin with Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that Chizkiyahu was right to be Mashiach, But the generation was not worthy. No one did more for Talmud Torah than Chizkiyah Melech Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lassot Chizkiyah Mashiach and the Muhammad Gog Magog, and the door, the generation was not Zakai. But Reb Yorlish takes the approach that these people were false messiahs, and this is why you have to be very careful. And I come back to the title of his book. And he was a genius, the Sakhmarov. I mean, he doesn't need me to say that, but Vayoel Moshe. So last week I paraphrased the Pusik. Let me quote the actual Pusik to you. It's Shmot Bet Pusik Kafalev. Vayoel Moshe Lashevet Et Ha'ish. What does he mean, Et Ha'ish? Yidro, Chatno. Where did he live? Midyan. In other words, be happy to live in Chutz La'aretz. Be satisfied. And that's why he calls the Sefer Vayoel Moshe. Also, I have to say, Vayoel, a play on words. What's Rav Teitelbaum's first name? Yoel. Vayoel Moshe. So you see, this is an entire philosophic understanding. You're in Gullis. He's now building a city. I was told by Dr. Allen yesterday, who was the obstetrician, I don't know if he's still active, he delivered thousands of Satmar children, if not tens of thousands. He says, within a few years, they're going to have 100,000 residents in Kiryat Yoel. What do they call it today? Palm City? Is that the name today?
Palm,
based upon Teitelbaum. But you see, this the Satmar of Vayoel Moshe. We plead here, come Aliyah, help us build a Jewish country. Look how proud we are what Israel is doing with the refugees. Already yesterday, you know, Rabbi Katzin and his son and daughter-in-law sat in the shir. After Shia, he showed me pictures of parties they're making in the absorption centers for the Ukrainians, the Russians. These people don't know what hit him. We should be angry. You could have come out in the 1990s, but all right. You can't get angry. I calmed myself down over the last 53 years. I remember the first time I went back to Queens, and I'm with a whole group of rabbis, and I'm benching with my friends, and when we finish benching, I stand up and say, I want to thank everyone for praying for my hometown. And they looked at me. Uvenei Yerushalayim Yakodesh Bimheidu V'yameinu. But people are caught up in the gullus, they don't realize. But you see, today I plead, we lead, we cry, we cajole. Tachnunim. The Satmar of, you're an apikoros, you're a min. You were sent to Englewood to stay there. You were sent to Teaneck to stay there. You were sent to Kiryat Yoel or Palm City, whatever, to stay there. It's a whole different approach. And you cannot deny there's sources for him in Shas. Rebbe, the whole story of Rebbe Zaire repeats itself a number of different stories like that. And you don't want to be like the Bnei Ephraim. You don't like to be like Bar Kokhba, etc. Now, then he goes further. I'm on page Kuf Yud Aleph. And here's a problem that has come up in modern times. And here, and in a number of places, or actually quite a few places, you can see he's writing, attacking very sarcastically Agudat Yisrael. Now, why is he constantly attacking Agudat Yisrael? It's very little attacks here on the Mizrahi. And you see, Mizrahi, no Mizrahiyah is going to be enticing for the Hungarian, the Munkacsa, the Satmar. Mizrahiyah, look at Rakefet, no beard, no payas, no black clothes. I just read that Mendy Gantrow in his memoir, Dr. Gantrow also, Zichrono Lebracha, anyone I knew is no longer here. Did you fellas know Mendy Gantrow, Rabbi? Doctor, M.D. Mendy Gantrow, real, from good guy. We were together in Rabbi Bornstein's class, I believe, maybe Rabbi Volk's class. He was a year ahead of me, but we were together.
He was president of the OU,
I think. He was president of the OU for 6 years. He wound up at the end of his last half year, he got hit very hard with the Lannis scandal. And it was very sad because I don't want to go into details, but if those of you who lived it, there's a tremendous machloket within the OU on what to do with Rabbi Butler. In other words, because I can tell you it's a tragedy of a tragedy, because you don't know Rabbi Rafi Butler, one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. And he cried to me. He went to Rabbi Heschel Schechter about Lanner. Is it true? Not true. And Rabbi Heschel took the attitude, like the Beit Din in Teaneck, it seems, that Lanner was a Tzadik Yesod Olam. You follow? And Butler didn't act further. Rabbi Heschel Schechter told him. One of the great tragedies. I really don't know Lanner. When I left America, he was in the Sheng Dover 53 years ago. But my students tell me he was, the Rav loved him. They played a tape for me where the Rav says a hod is in the 70s. The Rav is learning, I think it was Bat Metzia, and says a whole mahalach, and he finishes and says, "Nu Baruch, what do you think?" No, in my time, he never turned any time. The only time he ever turned is to Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein when he needed a source. He would say, "Aaron, nu Avu, Avu is das." Look at him like this, and every second Aaron gave him the Gemara, the Daf, etc. But it was a big tragedy, and what do you do? And to go further, and people wanted to bring the OU down, and they stopped giving money. You know, right away the Lashon Haranics get involved, and the Jewish Week, and let's not talk about it. But you look at me. No Satmar's going to be like me, or like Natan, or like Mark, or like Charlie. We're not a problem for them. Agudat Yisrael is a real problem. Reb Meir Parish, did you ever see his beard? The son of Reb Menachem, the grandson of Reb Moshe Parish, he ran for mayor of Yerushalayim. All his opponents just showed pictures of him with his beard. It frightened people. The guy's a beard down to his belt. He's going to be mayor of Yerushalayim. All right. Meir Parish and his ilk, that's a problem for Satmar. So he's constantly knocking Agudat Yisrael. Here already you have a real problem. And this has come up with extremists in Jerusalem, other places. Tell me, a church, a Roman Catholic church, Aveda Zara or not? Now you tell me. I remember I told you I was a kid walking on Bainbridge Avenue. I was courting my wife to be. And I walked past the church, big, beautiful church. I see it right before my eyes. And there's a statue in front of the church. I told you. And a young Catholic woman, nice woman, maybe an Italian, Irish, she's wheeling a baby. And the baby says, meant to be a baby a year, year and a half, 2 years. The baby says, "What's that?" And the mother says, "That's God. I heard that with my own ears." No? Avodah Zarah? Well, so you'll tell me a Protestant church. Protestant, fine. They believe in a Trinity. Is a Trinity Avodah Zarah or not? You know how much has been written on that topic? Shilush, it's called in Hebrew. Not so simple. God, the Holy Ghost, the Son. Wow. I can't understand how intelligent people can still believe in that. Believe monotheism. There's a Holy Ghost. There's a God. There's an Immaculate Conception. Sickening. No. Charlie, you pay taxes here? Some of your taxes go to the Mishrat HaDatot? The Mishrat HaDatot keeps churches open here? Just think for 1 minute. All of us sitting in this room who pay taxes, we're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So here, he goes crazy here. And I love it. It says,
it seems, this is many decades ago, Misrata Datat. So the Satmaruv writes, I just read an open letter from a good Yisrael that they're mitra'amim al hamemshala. They're mad at the government that it doesn't give them any influence in the Misrata Datat, the religious ministry. Who would ever dream that for many years, it's only now with Bennett that the Kibbutz Rugot got back in the religious ministry. Shas ruled it, Agudat Yisrael ruled it, etc. All right, plenty of problems, and I'm not taking any sides. That's different topics. And he says, that's where they want to have power? Do you know what that means? They're worshipping Avodah Zarah. Misrata Datat, that they have churches, freedom of worship. They get tax money. And this is one what they want to be part of. Rachmana Litzlan. Head on attack. And then Satmarov was not an Amoritz in Zionism. He goes on to quote the Declaration of Independence. Now, you all know Hachrazah Atzma'ut, I think it's called in Hebrew. It's not the Hebrew, am I right? Hachrazah Atzma'ut, I think. It's Declaration of Independence. All right, we're all sitting here. Our native language is American outside of Yomo's native language is Russian, Ukrainian, then American, then Hebrew, and he has a little bit Yiddish too. He has more than Mark, I believe. I'll put it that way. So, the Declaration of Independence, remember how proud we were. I mean, you don't know what that meant to us. 1948, Friday, when the news reached America already, Chachrazat HaMedina, it was Shabbos already, because, America's behind. We got the news Friday afternoon. It was Chachrazat HaMedina here, Friday afternoon, an hour before Shabbos approximately. And in the Declaration of Independence, it says there will be free, it's a Jewish democratic state and freedom of religion. Freedom of religion? Idol worship. Trinity. And Agudat Yisrael signed this declaration. Their representatives. Wow. And then he says, and in the Declaration of Independence, I don't want to mention his name, and Ein Ani Rotzeh Lahalot Shmo HaKtav, who was already established in 1897, the Treifai Deal LaHakamet HaMedina, and they mentioned, and I'll mention the name, Theodor Herzl, and Agudat Yisrael signed this declaration. What a bikosim, what meanim, you see? Now, a Satma Chassid, Rakefet just, here, let's show the class the article. Mark gave me some beautiful gift, and I wanted to Petzah Tachat Petzah, and I gave him a copy, but he can't publicize it. Theodor Herzl and Contemporary Zionism in the Context of Joseph and His Brothers. So you see, for an Agudit, for a Satmar Chassid, a Munkacha Chassid, Rakefet is no threat. But Agudat Yisrael? Wow. They're apikarsim. They're meanim. They support idol worship. They support belief in the Trinity. They support Theodor Herzl. You see what the Satmarov is doing? Now, I got to tell you, I love, again, it's rabbinic Hebrew. On page Kufyud Aleph, right at the end, he says, מאחרי הפרגות שמלתי שמלך השם ביוזני איזה יראים שבתוך הגדה. And he says, back of the curtain, right? Back of the curtain, some good agudistim whispered to me that they signed the Declaration of Independence. They didn't know what they were signing. Remember what I told you last week, Mark? At Teretz Van Bubba? And then, follow me? They didn't know what they were signing. So the Satma Rav, he's no fool here. Because, why? He says, they didn't know what they were signing. Declaration of Independence was publicized from one end of the world to another. Every newspaper quoted it. Every Gentile knew about it. He says, Oto hachrazan nishlachal kol pinei tevel misofolam v'ad sofo. And the entire world saw the signatures of the leaders of Aguda and signing on Avodah Zarah, Minut, Kfira, Beikar, denying God, Rachmana Litzlam. And you mean to tell me they didn't know what they were signing? And the Rav Satmarov says, not once did I ever see in their paper, Hamodia, at that time there was only one Aguda paper, today I think there's three, four, Hamodia, that they signed against their will, didn't know what they were signing. Just the opposite. Hamodia humalei sason v'simcha b'yomei dam oto yom ha-hachraza shekalin oto yom ha-atzma'ut. That Hamodia, when the state was declared, I told you, remember my lectures on Aguda Yisrael? They were overjoyed. They were dancing. What was going on here? The first election, remember? Aguda and Mizrahi ran together. Joint religious ticket. Yes, Charlie. Megillat Atzmaut. Hachnazat was declaring, and Megillah is the document that they signed. Thank you. Good. That's beautiful. Megillat Atzmaut. The Sadmano would have a problem with that too. Megillat Esther. Ahot kedei kach, korim lezeh, Megillat Atzmaut, Rishayim Gemurim. It was a different world then. It was a different world. Everyone was overjoyed. As I said yesterday, Rav Kanievsky served in the Israeli Defense Forces. His father served in the Polish Army. He served in IDF. People don't realize that. The Vishnitz Rebbe in Tel Aviv, the Seret Vishnitz, he died. His son is now. He also served in the army. But you see, it was a mistake on both sides. And let me criticize Ben-Gurion. They were so certain that there was some guy, Jerusalem Post, has some article. I mean, I don't know how stupid people are. Zionism has replaced Judaism. Did you read the article? There's a guy who wrote a book. He's lecturing. He's a nice guy. Plead with him if you meet him. Come sit down and learn Torah in Griscoel. All right? Sit down here for 7 years and learn Torah and know what it's all about. Zionism replaced Judaism? Zionism is one of the basic tenets of Judaism. Replace the religion of the world, Zionism. The Reformed Jews in Kalamazoo, Michigan are big Zionists. They're coming in Aliyah. What are we talking about? Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, Al-Pi Torah Yisrael. All right? This is Zionism. And there was Hakarat HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Holocaust. But that enmity towards religion, the rebellion, the Ashkenazim, taking the payas off the Taimaniyim, taking the Moroccan kids and breaking chickens before their eyes. We don't need shechita here. And ultimately, two from Jews in the army sent to jail for refusing to cook food. That's not pikuach nefesh. No one was dying. You could wait till after Shabbos. They came back from a pula. All right, have the sandwiches, have the cold cuts. There are different solutions. And it's totally separated, see? It went, and I can tell you, when I came in Aliyah, I checked out what happened. What happened? What went wrong? And my friends who had been Talmidim in Chevron at the time told me that Reb Chezkel Sarner got up and he started shouting, "Was freit men sich hazeh? Why are we so happy?" This is 1951 approximately. Why are we so happy with the state? What is different? Says the Zelbe Chilu Shabbos, cars, buses, Shabbos, nishta kein kashrus, nishta kein taris mishpacha. He understand? And it took quite a while for the Merkaz HaRav crowd to develop answers and for the Baal Tshuva movement to start reaching out here, which it reached out on all sides, Charedim, Datiyim, Lumiyim, Shas, etc. L'hagzir ateret liyoshna. Took a while. But Baruch Hashem, where we are today, is very different than we were 70 years ago. But the Satmar Rav, he is telling off our good at Yisrael, the Eich, Ov de Avay de Zara, Shilush, and wow. Then he quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. And again, this is all against Zionism in general, but against the good at Yisrael. Al titchaber l'Russia. And he quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah. What does it mean? You see, we get involved in a collective community. And I need not tell you, we must have a community. It's the ideal of Judaism. The Rav once gave a talk to social workers. Only the Rav could have done this. Whether Robinson Crusoe is a good role model for Jews. And he was not pleased with Robinson Crusoe because he did everything on his own. There's a kahila, there's a neidah, there's gomlim in life. Each one helps the other one. And Robinson Crusoe is not an ideal for Jews. Okay? What do you mean, Al Tishchabel to Russia? That the Rabbeinu Yonah learns when you're part of a community and the community sins, even if you're a tzaddik, you get part of the punishment for sinning. And just the opposite. Hamadabek l'tzaddikim, afal pisha eino aseh k'masehem, no tilscha ki yotze bahem. And I don't have to elaborate. He goes on and on. He says, you're a member of the Knesset? A gooda runs for office? Who's in the Knesset? Rishayim Gemurim. Look what we have today in the year 2022. It's unbelievable to believe. That's Bennett's big fault line as far as I'm concerned. Meirav Michiali? The others? Ugh. Well, you're part of that Knesset, Al Tetchabel of Russia. She's going to be punished by God. You're going to be punished. And just the opposite. You're a chassid, and we'll see many months from now, Satma today, not every Satma living in Palm City is a tzaddik. Some of them are drunkards, but they're part of the group. The Rebbe is the Rebbe. The tzaddik is the tzaddik. They get part of the schar, because the mitabek l'tzaddikim. Then he goes one step further, and you got to give credit. This man knows what's going on in Israel. This is a problem we live with until this moment. Eila hamishpat masher tersim lifneichem. And Rashi quotes Chazal. The worst concept is for us to say, we don't have a Torah, we don't have a law. We have to go to Goyim. But the mishpat of Goyim. What, we don't have a law? We don't have a choshen mishpat? We don't have endless kailalim today in Eretz Yisrael trying to interpret choshen mishpat in the light of contemporary issues? What do we need Goyim? What do we need? Chukei HaGoyim. What do we need? English law, American law, precedents. How can you have judges who never opened the Gemara in their life? I just think, this is a real problem. And Chazal understood this. If we wind up going to Goyim, there's no halacha anymore. Now, I have to tell you, here, what the Satmar Rav touches upon is a real problem. This is, originally in the Supreme Court, there were 9 judges. They always had 1 seat for a religious Jew, like there's 1 seat for an Arab. Well, if you have 9 judges sitting in a Beit Mishpat, and you have 1 Talmud Chacham, what have you accomplished? Simcha Asaf, recognize the name? Once again, please say you do, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Harav Professor Asaf, Simcha Asaf was a Gaon Adir. He learned in Tells. When I'll get to my shiurim on Tells in a few years from now, you'll understand Tells was different. In any other yeshiva, if you had a desire to go to university, they would have told you absolutely not. In Tells, they saw that Simcha Asaf interested in law. And he got a big Talmud Chacham, got smicha, and they said, all right, fine, encouraged him. He went to university, and he became a giant of Torah. He specialized in the Gaonic period. Anyone who studied the Gaonic period, you have his Sefer is basic to the Gaonic period, Reb Simcha Asaf. And he was the first religious Jew appointed to the Supreme Court when the state was established. Later we had other individuals, in particular Rav Menachem Professor, Rav Dr. Menachem Alon. And I don't have to tell you, Mishpat Avri, I have the 3-volume original edition. It never got the credit it should have because it came out minutes before the Yom Kippur War. And everyone was overwhelmed by the Yom Kippur War for the next year. You don't know how important those 3 volumes are. It's an what they developed is Mishpat Avri. What Mishpat Avri means, it's not halacha. In other words, it's not, you're not going to paskin exactly as the Choshen Mishpat with the commentaries, but it's taking the halachic sources and making them contemporary, dealing with it in a fashion that they're accessible to any question that will come up in the modern world. And this is what they call Mishpat Avri. There's Professor Rakova. I'll give you another example, who's published endless volumes on Mishpat Avri. Judge Bazak, for whom the road is named right here next to Gruss, the road right there is Kvish Bazak. He published from as a judge. He for him a giant of Torah and putting it into contemporary legal language. That's what we call Mishpat Avri. And this is the attempt being made. It will take a long time until these 2 legal systems blend into one. But a lot of good has happened in the last 60, 70 years. You now have on the Beit Mishpat Elyon, I don't say a majority of judges that are Shomer Shabbos, but you have 3 or 4, maybe even 5 men, women, Shomrei Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, a number of graduates of Alon Shvut. Alon Shvut has turned out quite a few graduates who have gone with Gatlet and Torah and mastered Mishpat Avri as well. You have to give credit. I have to tell you, the Rabbi Yeshiva too have turned out great individuals who can handle both worlds. Hakotel, Shalavim, Kerem Biyavna. There are many other yeshivat, but these are classic yeshivat chesda that have turned out Lamdanim of Hakim who can go to the greater world as well. But the Satmar Rav here, he attacks the judicial system, and it, that we must go to the Batei Mishpat, and he says, this is terrible. In Chutz Laaretz, people would go to secular courts, Ta'avat HaMamon, that they felt they could get a better settlement in secular courts. And by the way, it's very sad. We're talking about Satmar, Rav Aaron and Rav Zalman. Where did they wind up fighting over hundreds of millions of dollars? In secular courts. Bavov, where did they wind up fighting? In secular courts. When the fight began in Bavov, the famous story, the judge in New York was a Shomer Shabbos. And the judge said to them, when I went in and became a judge, I went to see, I think it was a father of one, a grandfather of another, and he said to me, when Jews fight, please send them to a Beis Din. And he said to them, you're coming to me? You should have a Beis Din and handle it within and not without. But here he's right, he says, the Tivat Mammon. But here in Israel, you refuse to accept the Batei Dinim. It's like this is part of the Chukei HaMedina. Outside of divorce and marriage, the Batei Dinim have absolutely no authority and no power. And this is what Agudat Yisrael agrees to. Then he asks another question. He's right on it. He's right on it. What do you mean? The Goyim don't have Batei Dinim, Batei Mishpat. Why are we angry at them? Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Isn't Dinim one of them? Isn't that the way we judge the Gentiles? Are they good, upright, moral, ethical people? If they have a Beit Mishpat, why are we angry at them? Why can't we go to them? And the Satmar Rav says, very simply, yes, the Gentiles have to have Batei Mishpat, and they have to establish their chukim as they understand that. But the Jews, we have God, we have Torah, we have commandments, we have been ordered. We have to do what the halacha tells us and not the Batei Mishpat. And again, time after time, that he comes out so strongly and raises vital issues. And these issues cannot be removed quickly. These are issues we struggle with. What he raises here with the Batei Mishpat, until today, you don't know what's going on. Originally, you were allowed to go to Batei Dinim, and whatever they decide would be legal in any monetary issue if both parties agreed. Then you had people got up in the Knesset and went against this. Why? Batei Dinim didn't want to give them any authority, even if you agreed. Today, I don't know what the status is, but could you imagine in the United States of America, if you go to a Batei Dinim and you sign the forms, it's a legal settlement. It will be life, considered arbitration, and it's legally binding. And here they fought. You couldn't believe what you heard people say. And they portray the Dayanim as backward, as misogynist, hating women. It's unbelievable what you see. It's a real, real problem. And we have we have to understand, we have a divine system. Time after time, the Jerusalem Post ran article after article against Torah Hashem, that with divorce, the women, they're suffering, they're being tortured. But this is a divine system. The man has to give the divorce, may Ritzono Hatov.
Where were articles?
In Jerusalem Post. Time after time, these last few, I couldn't believe, week after week, not one article defending Torah Hashem. This is a divine system. We have to work within it. You ask me if Talmidei Chachamim
with insight decide that a man has to give a get, and he doesn't want to, I would whip him until he gave a get. What do you want out of me? Look at the Rambam, look at the Psak, look at the Gemara and Gittin. But no, you're modern people, you can't do corporal punishment. Throw him into jail, throw the key away. It's very sad. But we can't say any woman wants a divorce. You had an article. Whenever a man and a woman want a divorce, it's like going to Reno, going to Las Vegas. Finish. We can't. This is a divine system. We're bound by it. And I have to tell you, the rabbinate does miracles here. They have a whole division, and this I can tell you as a fact, of detectives, of gangsters who work for them, Russian speakers, people who go all over the world to find husbands and tell them, if you don't give a divorce, we'll break your legs within a week. And then, all right, we do great things. We've solved, most of the problems have been solved. But all right, I agree, it's a tragedy if a man refuses to give a get. How do you deal with it? The Knesset already passed the law that if anyone comes in for chutzlaretz and he's a recalcitrant husband, he doesn't want to give a get, you can lock him up. You can take away his passport. You won't let him leave. And the Supreme Court upheld the law miraculously. All right. But these problems that he raises are real. They're not easy problems to dismiss. It could be with the Aveda Zara, if Natan says, why do we allow Aveda Zara? Why? The truth of the matter is, if we would interfere with it, it would raise the whole world against us. It would be sakonet nefashet for the state of Israel. I come back to the psakim of the Nodav Yehuda, the Chatam Sofer, and others of that era. If a goy is injured on Shabbos, can a Jew help, right? Can a Jewish doctor do isurim? Because it's to save the life of a goy. And you all know that with Bizman Hazeh, doctors, absolutely, we don't want the world to be against us. Chas v'chalilit could create endless anti-Semitism. We treat a non-Jew as a Jew, etc. So it could be that that's an approach to handle the whole question of churches and freedom of worship. But the Satmarov, he raises the issues, and this is his point of view. And then on page Kuf Chafchet, once again, very fascinating, he attacks Agudat Yisrael. Why does he attack Agudat Yisrael? He says, anything good that has happened in Israel is only because of our demonstrations in Chutz La'aretz. And this takes us back to, for instance, the pool on Rehov Emek Rephaim. Remember, we were talking about it. This takes us back to the building of the Histadrut on Rehov Strauss. This takes us back to Kikar Shabbat. This takes us back to drafting yeshiva boys in the army. This takes us back to drafting women into the army. Anything good that was accomplished in Israel was because we yelled, we shouted in Chutz La'aretz, we demonstrated. And this is terrible when Agudat Yisrael is part of the government. How can we demonstrate? People say to us, what are you complaining about? There are people in the government, long beards, payers, black clothes, 100% frum, litayim, chassidim. It weakens us in Chutz La'aretz. And you are destroying religion by being part of the government. Umashanim na'im me'ezin yanim la'sot neget hadat. Hu barur she'ein ze ela mipachad ha'olam shebechutz la'aretz. And you see, this is the justification. Demonstrate, yell, shout. The Rav said, the hands of the non-Jews are covered yet with Jewish blood from the Holocaust. Satmar says, yell, shout, demonstrate. The state of Israel will buckle under because we are demonstrating on Park Avenue in New York outside the Jewish consul. And then he attacks Agudat Yisrael again. And he says, when Zionism began, the overwhelming majority of Jews were religious. The Apikorsim, the Minim, the Tzionim, Hayuaz Mi'uta de Mi'uta, were just a small number. And even though they were a small number, all the Gedolim and the Tzaddikim yelled, it is forbidden to join with them. You're not going to influence them. Kol Ba'im Lo Yishuvun, they're going to influence you. They will not change, but they will change you. And he quotes a sefer. I have the sefer in my possession. Arli Yisharim. You know what Arli Yisharim was? A collection of all the Gedolei Yisrael of that period writing against Zionism. And here the Satmar Rav pulls out a sword and sticks it into his nemesis, Lubavitch. And he quotes from that pamphlet, who wrote one of the strongest articles against Zionism? Rav Shalom Dovber, the Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And you see what he's saying here is, Lubavitch today? And he's going to attack them time and again. I don't need to tell you what goes on after Entebbe. And he's going to attack them time and again. Who is Lubavitch? What is Lubavitch? And this is what I said a week ago, 2 weeks ago. The Rashab was just as extreme in his opposition as the Munkacher, as the Satmar will later be. And he quotes him by name, that here people think you're going to have influence. Even then, when the Frum Jews outnumbered the Zionists 20 to 1, there was no influence. Allah kama v'kama today, when the Zionists outnumber us hundreds to one, you're going to have influence. And you think, and here he takes on already Agudat Yisrael, and you think by going to the Bechirat, by voting, by participating in the Knesset, you're going to have influence? He says, big deal, you're going to vote for the Knesset. How many seats will you get? A few. You're not going to be the majority. You're not going to be a strong minority. How much influence will you have? You're going to be mitchaber l'rishayim, and you're going to be like them. And you weaken our position in Chutz La'aretz, because when we demonstrate, people will say to us, well, there's Agudat Yisrael, they're part of the Knesset, they can take over religious needs. What are you demonstrating about? A waste of effort, a waste of time. How many seats will you get? He goes on and on. Let me just make one comment. He's raising here a very good issue. Look at the crowd that came out yesterday. You had a seventh of the Jews living in Israel, one-seventh, turned out to give honor to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. One-seventh, just think. Why don't we have more influence? Where did these votes go? It's not what used to be. All right, years ago, Agudah and Mizrahi ran a joint ticket. They got, I think in the first election, 16 seats together. Check it out.
Where do these folks go? See, this is something that haunts us. 2 million Shomer Shabbos Jews in Israel. 2 million more traditional Mesoratim. Where do these folks go? See, here we have a real challenge. I have to tell you, it's an honest challenge. Some of my grandchildren will say, no, we got to vote for a big party. What do we accomplish? The Likud is good. So many from people vote Likud. Likud appointed the first minister ever who was a public homosexual. It's the minister of Mishpatim in the last government. Likud, it's a wonderful party, but they're not going to fight for Torah. It's not a religious party. That's why I said the other day, vote for a party that will make the state Jewish, will keep the state Jewish. Likud is wonderful. To sit down and form a government with them, wonderful. But to vote for them? See, the Sakhmar of where? You have three-quarters of a million people at the funeral. Where are all those folks going? And you're having, there's adults. You're not going to have that many children at a funeral be trampled. These are adults. They vote. They have right. And just, but the Satmaruv, one simple concept. Al tetchabel l'rishoyim. Don't be like a good at Yisrael. Don't make the mistake. It doesn't help. It weakens. Now, then, on page Kuf Chaf Tet, I have to tell you when I saw, when I know this from, I know this volume by heart, basically, when I first saw this, later in life something happened, I said, boy, the Sadhguru knew what he was talking about. One of the big issues when I came in Aliyah, was the question of Mihu Yehudi. Mihu Yehudi became a very tangible issue because a lieutenant colonel in the IDF who served in the Israeli consul to Poland married a Polish woman and had children with her. I mean, as far as I know, they may be happily I hope they're happily married until today. I mean, I hope they're alive. And he refused to convert. She refused to convert. And she said, I don't believe in anything. She said, what am I going to convert and say? I believe in God. I believe in Torah. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything. She refused to convert. So he went to court. You know the story, Shalit, the Shalit story. He went to court that the children are Jewish because they were born in Israel. They speak Hebrew. They'll serve in the army, etc., etc. And the judges ruled that it was a 4-3 decision, as I recall. The judges ruled that the children are Jewish because the whole concept of who is a Jew is a secular concept, nothing to do with halacha. And it caused a tremendous storm, and they finally, the Golda Meir was prime minister, they finally came up with a compromise, passed the law. Who is a Jew? Someone who is born to a Jewish mother who has converted, or has converted. So I remember the big debate. What do you mean, who has converted? And I had a lot of Akmas Nefesh, my own people from the Mizrahi. Remember Yosef Burg saying, we don't have to say Alpi Halacha. Conversion is a halachic concept. Yeah, conversion is a halachic concept. Go and tell that to a reform rabbi, to a reconstructionist rabbi, to a conservative rabbi. And unfortunately, we suffer from that law that was passed until today, because Rakefet was right in his fears. I was a young kid then, but I was frightened stiff. Halachic concept. And the Supreme Court, time and again, has ruled. There's nothing to do with halacha. It has to do pluralism, etc. Now, this Lubavitch Rebbe at the Yutet Kislev Fabrengim that year, so Manny Hoser recorded it, and he passed on a copy to me. He caught it from the radio. There was the Lubavitch Rebbe already in the early 70s, was on the radio. I think it's before closed circuit TV, but radio, you could hear the Rebbe. And he recorded it from the radio, and he passed it on. I have it until today. I listened to it a number of times. And the Rebbe criticizes the Mizrahi Sarim that what they're interested in is covet, prestige, money. They're glued to their seats in the government. They will not leave. On page 129, the Satmar Rav says exactly the same thing as the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says that, yeah, we have parties, but it's, they don't really have principles. They compete with one another in the Knesset to get money, to get influence, to get prestige, to get coveted, and they can always be bought off. And I quote his words, "The Knesset yomdim hamemshala ki dai lechem b'mashin otmim lechem oto hashochan shemamon v'kaved v'yein tzrichim lasot yoter ba'avur shomrei hadat." And I need not tell you, unfortunately, this is absolutely true. Humans are humans. Rakepet has no right to criticize. Chaim Drukman offered him a safe spot on the ticket to run for the Knesset, and Rakepet turned him down on the spot with difficult for me, because Reb Chaim Drukman is one of the greatest Jews of our generation. But Natan, yes. Who goes into the Knesset? You know how Call of Oslo came about? Because one person got a fancy car, was made a Sabah Memshelet Yisrael. He wound up in jail afterwards. He cooperated with our enemies, passed on information. A Jew, for money. But, Ribono Shel Olam, this is so true. Knesset, Memshala, Sar, where are your principles? Being bought off, who has the guts to get up and say, "I'm leaving, it's not for me, you're phonies, give up your car, give up your driver, give up your fat salary, give up the good pension you will get," and he goes on and on, and a good deal of this is taking aim at Agudat Yisrael. And you'll see page 131, people remain in the Knesset on and on, accomplish nothing, do not fight for Torah, but covet money. And this is tragic. And when you're mitchabeh im harasha, and he quotes here the Yismach Moshe, you think it's only for a moment, only for one act, but you're very joining with them. Your soul is influenced. It's like a poison that creeps into your body. And within a few days, you can't get it out of your body. It's part and parcel of your very identity, your very existence. And here we come back to a problem that we suffer with in democracy from the day that democracy began. Alexis de Tocqueville, recognized the name, French political scientist, visited America right before the Civil War. As I recall, he wrote two volumes analyzing American democracy. And one of his critiques, and we live with this until today, it's very simple. Yomo was 5 years old in kindergarten in Kiev, when Kiev existed. We don't know what's going to happen now. And it had been a long, hard winter in the Ukraine. I was in Russia twice during the winter, three times actually, but twice in the heart of winter. Not easy. And finally, the spring came in. And the
kindergarten teacher, the Ganenet, says to the happy kids, the sun, it's nice, a beautiful day, no snow, no rain. Let us go out of the kindergarten today and enjoy God, the world. I'm about to say God's world. It's Ukraine, communism. Enjoy the world. Should we go to the park to play ball? Or should we go to the library to look at books? And she puts it to a vote. 24 kids voted to go to the park to play ball. Yomo was the only vote to go to the library. And he suffers from that until today. And Charlie, I'm not pulling strings. This is the truth. Certain things happened in his youth in Kiev. Suffers from that until today. But do you understand the inferences? Who's right? Who's wrong? 24 kids said, go to the park and play ball. Yomo, you're off the wall. I don't want to go to the library. Look at books. Who needs books? Waste of time. Knowledge. Who needs knowledge? Enjoy. So the Satmaruf says, this is the entire problem with a good at Yisrael. They don't listen to their rebbeim, they listen to the masses. The masses, wonderful, we're in the Knesset, we have representatives, we have money, we get money for our schools, we get money for our shuls. Get covered. And reminded, when he's writing this, Agudat Yisrael would not take Tsar. Remember, it took many decades till they agreed to accept Tsar b'Memshelat Yisrael. Don't want responsibility. I mean, it's double talk. You're in the Knesset. You're part of the government. No, not a sub. Okay. And here, he says, this is the problem. And he comes right to Shabtai Tzvi. He says, what was the tragedy of Shabtai Tzvi? The masses. Everyone loved him. Everyone loved the message. You got to remember, Shabtai Tzvi comes on the scene after Chmielnytskyi, after Gezeirat Tachvatat, after 1648. Isn't it beautiful to hear a message? Mashiach is on the way. Everything is changing. Don't have to observe Tisha B'Av. Fabulous. This is Agudat Yisrael. Zionism, state. After the Holocaust. Beautiful. We want to be part of it. All right, we can't be totally integrated. But let us enjoy the fruits of our labors, part of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, let me end off page Kuf Ayin. He doesn't miss a point. No, Natan, what do you say? Satmar's raised so many issues. So we would say to the Satmar, let's be Malamed Zchut in Klal Yisrael. They suffered. There was a new era. The pogroms, anti-Semitism. Herzl succeeded. Nothing has succeeded like the state of Israel in the 20th century. Nancy Pelosi said it when she came to Israel. If I may quote that giant of, what shall we say, erudition and decency. Okay. She said it here. The masses. Let's be Malamed Zchut. No, whenever we talk about being Malamed Zchut, who do we go back to? Reb Levi Yitzchak of B'Tichev. Came out of shul, and there were his chassidim on the floor with talis and tefillin on them, changing the tire on the carriage. Changing the tire on the car, in our language.
No, if I saw a Yomo on the floor with talis and tefillin changing a tire, I would say to him, what are you doing? You're mizalzel, forget about the talit, but tefillin? Four parshia, twice over? What a nice faf you are. Reb Levi Yitzchak, Ribbono Shel Olam, look how holy your people Israel are, that even when they change tires on cars, they do it in talis and tefillin. And I have to go on. The Satmar Rav says, everyone quotes Reb Levi Yitzchak, the Bedichava, Avat Yisrael. What are you talking about? Avat Yisrael? Time and again he shows you from Reb Levi Yitzchak's writings, time and again he refers to Jews as Rishayim. And he quotes, I'll give you one quote, Reb Levi Yitzchak here, in the Haggadah, Avadim Hayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim. He says, Avadim, the Jews were idol worships, Memtet Sharei Tuma, Rishayim Hayinu. Why do we use the word Avadim? And Reb Levi Yitzchak, the Satmar Rav, here's an example. Rishayim, call a spade, don't be melamed schut. Don't create concepts that are not real, that are not tangible, that are not part of the real life. And this is the Satmar Rav. This is, we're not finished yet, but this is the heart of this thinking in the first part of Vayol Moshe. Aliyah to Israel, individuals. Tzadikim, kedoshim. Yes, we have to keep a minyan. We have to be able to have a calendar. The Rambam says it, Sefer Mitzvah, Rambam says it, Hilchot Kiddush, Kiddush HaKodesh. But not massive. And if you talk about Israel, who are we talking about? The Shayim. You're going to sit with them in the Knesset? You're going to be mitchaber to them? Agudat Yisrael is going to strengthen them? You're going to strengthen Batei Mishpat that rule according to English law or American law, but not according to Choshen Mishpat and Torah law? You're going to strengthen the Misrata Datat? Idol worship, churches, Trinity, Catholics, Protestants, that's what you give money for? Agudat Yisrael? And then ultimately, you become like them. There's no difference between you. You're in the Knesset. You signed the Declaration of Independence. You're rejoicing. You're happy. You're getting covered. Wow. And we don't vote. We have nothing to do with elections. And you tell us we vote. So what if you vote? How many seats will you get? Why are you so happy? Why are you integrated into Israeli life? You influence no one, but you become like them. Chas v'chalila that we should advocate Aliyah en masse. Yechidei school of tzaddikim? Yes, I have chassidim in Israel. I support them. I work hard for them. But those are few and far between. Evil Moshe blow, Vayol Moshe, L'shevet dem ha'ish. Where? With Midian. In Midian. With Yitro, his father-in-law. Adkan. I'm going to show you something next week that will blow your minds, but it's also a result of the modern world and innovation. So to reiterate, I think we got a good feeling under the Yoel Moshe. This is the first part, Maima Shalosh Shavuot. I'm going to add a little bit more to it, and next week Be'ezrat Hashem, then we're going to go into Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and then time and again, we have to come back to the Gemara at the end of Ketuvot, and how he interprets it. And Charlie, he makes a strong argument. That's why I want you to understand him from within. To refute him, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will. But we have to understand him. He's a big Talmud Chacham. Wherever you turn, learn, he's there. He's Bucky in Midrashim. You can't wave him away as a Yingel. Even people who later became Zionists from Satma, Munkach, but they all had Yiret HaKavod for the Yoelish in it. The Yiret HaKavod, the feeling, the greatness, the Lamdan, the Tzidkut, the Prishut, call it what you wish, was there. And that's Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. Okay, are there any questions from my wonderful students sitting in front of me? This week is a rare week, Natan, where we had more people on Sunday than Monday. Yeah. Yesterday, you saw we had three different groups of outsiders visiting. All right, Mark, open it up to the world.
Okay.
And
open.
Go ahead.
I mean, two points. One on point, one not. I want to point out he can't have it both ways. If he's saying that it's usher because of the Shalosh Shavuot, then the state could be run by Satmar Hasidim and it's still be usher.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. He's saying that the state of Israel does this and that.
Nachem,
it doesn't matter what the state of Israel does.
Nachem, you're a Shavlanut. You're absolutely right. I have the same problem with him. Why is he constantly fighting? You'll see, I'm going to get the Chubot against Agudat Yisrael. Why is he constantly fighting Agudat Yisrael if, according to his thinking, even if the state was run by Mayor Parrish multiplied 120 times, it's rebellion against God? You're absolutely right. I have no answer from him, but I think the answer is he was out to convert Agudat Yisrael to Satma. He knows that he's not going to convert Nachum Lehm or Aaron Rakefet to Satma. So that's why he's constantly beating up on them. But in theory, you're absolutely right, and I absolutely have the same problem. But I'll show it to you at a much stronger level than now. Okay, what's your second point?
No, the other one, what you said about Lanner, I remember years before it broke, everybody knew about it. And in YU, they talked about it. And we would tell kids, you know, that we had an NCSY, you know, stay away from them. You know, it's like, because nobody could do anything. You know, nobody knew anything. Everybody knew and nobody knew. But I remember somebody told me, they said, you know, even the Rav once said to him, maybe you should go into something that doesn't involve children.
And
then he said, and he ignored the Rav. Like, the Rav could see, you know, like, this isn't the guy. I'm sure the Rav didn't know, but, you know, this isn't the guy who's meant to work with kids. And he did anyway. He ignored him, and that's what happened.
What I heard, remember, I came in Aliyah 69. 69, Lana was a baby. But what I heard from Joey Epstein, and Joey should live and be well, one of my great Talmidim out of the, 65, I think, 66. And Joey was a sharpshooter. And Joey told me that he was an ear witness that when Lanner got smicha and everything, he told the Rav, Rebbe, I'm going to be an NCSY director, whatever the word is. And the Rav said, quoting the Rav, I wasn't there, obviously, but the Rav said to him, no, that's not for you. You should be a Rosh Yeshiva. So it shows you that there, and then when I heard that tape where the Rav says, Nu Baruch, what do you think? Wow. The Rav in my time, could you imagine he's saying a mahalach in learning, and he's going to turn, he never turned to Aaron Lichtenstein, never said, Nu Aaron, what do you think? Never, let alone to Aaron Rakefet or Heshi Shachter, you follow me, we were little guys. The Rav was the Rav, and he never, but it's very, very sad. You see, from what I gather from afar, is that Lanner was had tremendous charisma, and he evidently had such a personality.
On the other hand, it's frightening. Forget about the NCSY. He didn't go to jail because of the NCSY. He went to jail because of Deal, New Jersey, the high school, the two girls that... God, that's so frightening. Hashem Yirachem. Very frightening. I played a role with Zvi Groner. You should know that he came up Dr. Gantrell's book. He mentions that they were considering him from a position, and they interviewed him and said, "You don't want this man as principal." I want you to know that the high school in Australia, I think it's the biggest yeshiva high school in the world. It's a public school, basically. There they get money from the government.
Mount Scopus.
Could be Mount Scopus. Anyway, he was being considered for the principalship. And I told Zvi, I already heard rumors here. I said to Zvi, contact your uncle. His uncle was the famous Rabbi Groner of Melbourne. And tell them not to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. They're rumors. Then it was rumors. And Baruch Hashem, they investigated from Australia and they saw it's not for them. But it's so sad, someone with such capability and such charisma, and to wind up with a scandal like that almost broke the back of the OU. Just think what went on. So, all right, listen, we can't win them all, and wherever there's genius, you have to be certain they walk a straight path. That's all I can say. Life has taught me that. I've seen many geniuses in my lifetime. Some walk a straight path, and some, if there's a door and a window to get into the house, they'll break the window and go in that way, but they won't go in through the door. So you have to be careful. Baruch Hashem, you have to be careful. All right, I don't want to go further, but on that topic, my Yetzer Hara gets the best of me. I can tell you twice I was a guest of two communities far from Israel, far from America. One in 2000, one in 2002. And in both communities, I lectured extensively for many weeks. And at the end, they made farewell, very fancy farewell dinner, party, banquet, call it what you wish. And both chief rabbis in both communities got up and they said, "We never met anyone who knew," I don't want to go further as much, etc., "but we never met anyone who was more normal than Rav Rakefet." And I said, "That's the greatest compliment you can give me." And that's exactly what I'm talking about, with ability, and you have to walk a straight path, normalcy, down to earth. And by the way, with the Rav, that was something that came across. Even when I spoke about his class, you weren't there, the interview on, you interviewed Wednesday for some Chabad, I don't know how they do it, from America, I'm sitting here, the screen is split in half, America, Israel, they're making a video of me, 45 minutes, etc., and I spoke about the Rub's classroom, and even though there was tension in the Rub, it was in Boston. I spoke about Yitz Rubin when he came to New York. He had a shock how we relate to the Rub in New York and how they related to the Rub in Boston. But the Rub came across human, normal. I remember him saying, I remember when Jerry Blau said to the Rub, Jerry Blau came back from Israel. He had learned in Karen Biyavna, so he was speaking third person. The Rub said, and Rebbe said, "Who's the Rav? Who do you mean?" And he says, "Rebbe, I mean you." He says, "So say me. Say you said." The Rav couldn't tolerate. The Rav said, "You said." There was normalcy, down to earth. The best story is Mo Berlin. He's also gone. Zichrono Levracha. You don't know who Mo was. It's tzaddik. Anyway, Mo was director of a hospital in the Boston area, and he davened in my mom. He's very close to the Rav. And one time, Mo told me, he came in Aliyah. I went to visit him in the Merkaz Klita. He came maybe 2 years after we did. And I went to visit Mo, and
He says, Ani, I got to tell you a good story about the Rav. He says, one time in Maimonides, after Mincha, the Rav sits me down and he says, Mo, do me a favor. We have 20 minutes tomorrow. Teach me baseball. And Mo says, I start teaching the Rav first place, second. You know, within 15 minutes already, he's going to shake up, master, the pitching, the catching. And when it's all over, Mo says to the Rav, Rebbe, I don't want to be a chutzpahnik, but why does the Rav have to know this? And the Rav looks at him and says, Mo, my grandchildren are coming to visit me for Shabbos. I have to have something to talk about with them. And boy, that's the Rav. Anyway, Zom Zayn Gezun, that's the Rav. It's not Lanner. That's all I can say. I don't know Lanner. I only know what I've heard and read, etc. But lo tov hashmua, as they say. Are there any other questions? Oh, I see. I got to clear out. There's a class after me here. Okay. Yeah.
Can I answer two things?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Pretty much every book you are using, Moshe, they're all available as PDF files. I'm going through them. And while you're going through any of these books, I have the page on the screen, on my computer screen, and also I can move very quickly from page to page. So I think it's kedai to do that. And it's free. You can get
So you're telling everyone they can check the sources.
You can download Mishnah, Halacha, everything, Bayal Moshe, Lamed Lahar, Rigurat Moshe, all available for free. And I find it very useful.
Good. No. It's very important. I like when people check what I'm quoting, because you see with your own eyes, it registers. When we do the Al HaGemula, the Al HaTmura, there are certain things I'll quote. You won't believe what I'm quoting. It's there. Look at it. But
I haven't looked through that volume yet. But above all, you can move quickly, page to page. Now, the other thing is, you hold up sometimes pictures.
I know.
Right?
You don't see it.
No. If you hold it up to the computer, by pressing, at least on a Windows computer, the Windows button and print screen, the computer will photograph what you're holding up to the... And I find that also very useful.
One second. Mark, can that be done with this computer?
You just hold it up and I photograph it on my computer.
Oh, I see.
But you have to hold it up to... Don't wait. At least for a few seconds, not to wave around the class. Hold it up in front of the computer screen.
Okay, Mark, remind me to do it. Okay, I want to thank everyone for honoring me with their presence. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up with some real difficult problem that we, the Kohen to the Giyoret. Oh boy, is that a difficult problem. And we all live with it because if anyone's an American rabbi, and more than American today, unfortunately, and you're being Masada Kedushin for a Kohen to a young lady who's a university graduate, and they're not religious, but their rabbi is an Orthodox, their shul may be Orthodox, Zona, non-Jew, relations, divorce, this problem comes up. After class, Rabbi Katzin told me a whole story with the Kohen to a Giyoret. A Kohen, forget about it. A Kohen marries a girl, and she tells him she's not a virgin. She's a university graduate, not a virgin. And he becomes a Baal Tshuva, or they become Baalei Tshuva, and she slept with Gentiles, Zona. And what do you do? Anyway, they went to Rav Reuven Feinstein, and Rav Reuven asked the Kohen, your parents are religious? No. Your mother went to university? Yes. He said, chances are you're a Chalel. Nothing to worry about. You follow what we're up against? And I raised that issue in America. Every rabbi, I understand others have raised the issue. It's a sad reality. But nevertheless, we have to deal with it, as we will see, with a lot more Be'ezrat Hashem next Sunday. Monday, we'll continue with the Satma. The week afterwards, Sunday's normal, and Monday is a special shayur in honor and in memory of BMT, the institution that changed the course of Torah in the Anglo-Saxon world. Till we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya.